What's going on, everyone? Thanks for checking out another episode of Our Brains Hurt. We'll get to the show in a second, but first, a word from our sponsor. If you like great coffee and punk rock, head over to punkrockjoe.com. Get yourself some coffee, listen to some free tunes, download some free music. Every bag of coffee comes with a password on the back that gives you access to the Snubbed Records Coffee Club, where you can go and download albums, songs, listen to some previously unreleased tracks. So, and it's gourmet coffee. So if you love good coffee and punk rock, head over to punkrockjoe.com and get yourself caffeinated. Now, let's get to the show.
Welcome to another episode of Our Brains Hurt with Ron and Matt. Thanks for hanging out.
What's going on?
You know, the same old trials and tribulations of life.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's trying. Oh, look at you with your natty bows. I have my typical Miller Lite.
So, Savage Remains.
Yeah.
Should we let the good people know?
Well, I'd say that we could, I'd say that this could be considered a, very extended hiatus.
Yeah.
Maybe a permanent one. But yeah, I guess I'm in terms of band wise, I'm single. And yeah.
All you guitar players and drummers out there, listen. Matt is single and ready to mingle.
That's right. It's only going to take, like, you know, a few people to start playing some music.
Right.
We'll put some musical projects together or something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there'll be a million and a half of people out there as COVID starts to end.
Oh, yeah.
And things start to go back to some sort of semblance of normal. I don't know if we'll ever quite get there, but. You know, some people can't wait, and I'm sure there's going to be some people itching to play some music. Oh, yeah. Who could use a vocalist. So
yes, sir.
I'm ready and willing. Bring your dildos and your your butt plugs. Oh, wait, we're talking about something else. Music, right?
We can combine the two.
Music.
That'll make for an interesting project.
Music. Got it. Music. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, Ric Flair is in the house. Fucking Ric
is an asshole because the cicadas are out and he's trying to eat all of them. And he...
Get out. Get.
Ric Flair wants those cicadas. He wants them hard.
Yeah, he's a little bastard.
I want to teach my dog how to be Ric Flair. How do you,
no, you
do
don't.
That? Just buy a beagle. Yeah, that's exactly. How you do it.
Yeah, buy a beagle, wait till he gets old and doesn't know where he is half the time.
Or adopt a beagle. Adopt a beagle.
Exactly. So, all right, Jay is in the room. All right, I'm going to let him in. Oh.
There it is. Woohoo! There all it right. is.
I'm like the most technically inept.
Oh, believe me, you're not.
Yeah.
So how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm, you know, one day at a time.
That's all you can do, man.
Yeah, it's true. It's super true.
Thanks for coming on and doing this, man. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, dude. Anytime, man.
I got some catching up to do. I got to kick back and listen to some of those episodes.
Yeah, you know, it's we decided that since, you know, no music and playing music during COVID, that we might as well continue doing something music related. So.
Oh, yeah. That's common, man.
Yep. It's
podcasting. It is just like everybody else.
Yeah, I got two band members that are doing it, too. So.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Yeah. It's all you need is a microphone and a computer.
And half a brain.
Not even
a phone, whatever.
Or combined half a brain like Matt and I.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all on half a brain.
Yeah.
You know, two wrongs make a right. That's how that works, right?
That's what I keep trying to do.
Have you been playing any shows yet? Are you any of your bands back?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't have any shows getting asked. Yeah. But it's we're supposed to do a live stream last coming up next week, but that didn't that's not happening.
Okay.
So it's been a tough go trying to get it together.
Right.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. So I was following some of your latest Facebook posts. May as well be called fake book. But you had mentioned something about having maybe possibly being done with playing live and stuff like that. I know Joe Queer came to the rescue and told you to snap out of it. And, but there was it was a discussion going on. So
my uncle always butting in, that fucking guy.
So what's going on with that?
I was just throwing the thoughts out there of, like many of us, I've been playing music for 23 years or so.
Yeah.
And this is the longest I've ever gone without playing a show, without having full-on practices with my bands. And I've been active, and trying to get it back together. I think the hardest thing with playing shows for me is the actual part of having the band, getting the band together, being practiced, being prepared for that. And I'm always writing. So I'm always writing. I'm always trying to get in the studio. But trying to have a full band that, you guys playing bands, you know how it is. It's a bitch just trying to play shows and write and record. And a lot of people can't multitask and it's a hard thing to do. And so taking the shows out of the equation is you don't need to have that band together necessarily. I don't know. I'm just stupid. Yeah. Don't listen to me.
It makes sense. it's a pain in the ass, especially in as you get older and people, have kids, and my fucking dog is barking. He's cicada crazy right now. He wants to go outside all the time to eat cicadas. So I'm trying to mute whenever I'm not talking. I think I muted a little too soon. Anyway,
he's not barking. He's Ric Flairing. Yeah. His dog sounds like Ric Flair. He goes, woo.
But really, dude, the whole show thing, I don't know. Yeah. You go through funks, and I was going through a funk and I put it out there. So I want to play shows. Of course I do.
Right.
I miss it like crazy.
Yeah.
At this moment, it's just been hard to get the band together to practice. My bassist at the moment for the Prozac lives 3 hours away. Mm-hmm. And with all the COVID stuff, and I've been through a million different people, and it gets tiring sometimes.
Out of all the people that I've met on the road playing shows and stuff like that, I have thought about this a lot and thought about you a lot, because I feel like you were probably one of the biggest people that got affected personally, musically wise, because out of all the people I've ever played shows, traveled with, stuff like that, you have constantly just written and put out albums. I think the only person that I can think of that's probably put out more albums than you is the guy we had on last week, Dustin, or Grim Deeds, if you will.
Yeah, Grim's insane.
Yeah, he puts out so many, but
I love that kid.
I know, dude, he's so awesome. But you are a close second, because I don't know how many Prozac albums there are, but there always seems to be new Prozac music or some other project that you've been putting on. So
I mean honestly, I went 9 years between Prozac's full lengths.
Yeah, but you still had so much stuff.
I try to keep busy. I try to at least, I don't force it. Really, it might seem like it's a forced thing, and it's totally not. I'm just always trying to catch up to myself. It's
no, I don't think it's forced at all. I'm in awe of how you can write so many songs. Just, and so, same thing I told Grim, man. I'm completely in awe of the musical catalog that you have.
Well, thanks. I don't really know. I'm not writing all the time. I mean, I have back catalogs. I go through, I'll have a period of time where I'll write a whole bunch of stuff. I have ideas. It's always there. It's just, there's always a lick brewing. There's always a line brewing. There's always a thought that I want. And that's how I look at it. I have these thoughts that need to get out. And for myself, more than anybody, that's my diary. It's my, It's every song is, you get the funny ones and you get the silly shit, but there's, I don't know. There's just an emotional drive. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I commend you because, like, it's not, you know, it's not easy for anyone to put that those thoughts on paper or into music and stuff like that. So for the people like yourself who are able to get, you know, or put more on the table as far as just the songs go, I have to commend because it's not an easy thing to do.
Well, thanks a lot. Yeah, it's a... Yeah, it's tough, you know, trying to, you know, when you're trying to work with people, because it's like, I understand it's a lot to take for a lot of guys that I've played with over the years, to always be moving, always having something to reach for or go for, or it's not like, hey, just band practice and sit back and drink some beers and we'll do that for a few weeks. I'm like, I got this. And it's fun. It's our world. It's you know what I mean? This community, it's our lives as much as family is, you know, including the, you know, more so than ever, like the fans, because, you know, the internet, I mean, look at us, you know what I mean? All the people that you know, that you would have never known, getting our music internationally and having people that you're close to all over the world. You're talking to musicians that you grew up listening to, and you're at a level of family, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and totally. You and I probably wouldn't know each other without the internet,
right? You know,
yeah.
So, and here we are.
Yep, here we are, man. like 6 years later, or whatever it is, you know.
But yeah, you know, it's a burning desire, and you can't get rid of it. It's, you know, I guess it's different for everybody in different ways.
Yeah, it's just part of who you are. It's like ingrained, you know. Once you stick with it for a certain amount of time and just become an adult and you're still into it, it's you, you know, playing and writing and all that stuff.
And it's obsessive. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's as bad as any drug or, you know, in the respect of not being able to, I don't know. I can't put it aside. Even when I go on social media and I have my little crying spat or tantrum, you gotta let it out. You break down sometimes and you're like, you know, and then you're like, oh, you need a break from it, but it's almost like you need more of it than actually needing a break, right? You know,
it's like a love affair, man, you know. As now I don't know if this is the wisest person to repeat, but as Jason V told me one time, there has to be some sort of level of infatuation involved in love, or you're not going to get very far.
Well, for me, it's the most important thing.
Yeah,
there is. You got to love what you're doing. You got to love yourself for it. You got to do it for you. And then that passes on, you know, there's, you know, like, I guess with Jason saying that, I take it as, in my words, it's throwing out a sincerity. It's being sincere about it. And then people can catch on to that, you know, like they, you know, people aren't as dumb as half of them look. you know, more often than not, you can see through sincerity and bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it comes across in the music, and you could tell, like, when you watch a band who you know is sincere, it just makes it that much better all around, performance wise and listening and stuff like that.
There's an energy that everyone can feel, you know, like they feel, you feel, you're all a part of like the same kind of circle, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's awesome. You know, it's like I said, it's our lives. It's, it's not a, you know, it's not a thing we do. It's a thing that we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Totally.
I think Uncle Joe was getting on to something there, totally. You know?
He's the best.
I was just going to say, well, holy shit.
You know, one of the Jasons like, said, I've known Joe for over 20 years, and you know, I was a yappy little like fanboy, and I got the opportunity to go on the road with him a few times, and you know, he's a huge part of like what I am. I took a lot from him, and I still do, and he's been there as a friend and a you know, an inspiration. And so, you know, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. I sometimes saw on that particular post, I'm like, is he making fun of me, you bastard? Fucking crybaby. But, you know, no, Joe, that's the thing about Joe. He's a very sincere, you know, and he believes in what he does, and he's been constant. He hasn't stopped. And he does give a shit about his fans. You know what I mean? And it's important to him to the point where he's probably threw away some opportunities in other ways because he's sticking by his guns. Yeah. You know, what he believes in.
Who would have known that back when I was a snotty little teenager listening to the Queers, that Joe Queer was such a nice guy or a helpful guy.
I mean, you know, he's done the rock star, you know, he's done the rock and roll all the way through. I mean, everyone knows that. But yeah, you know, that's how it comes around. It's cool. And again, you know, people become part of your lives and it's, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
None of us do. It's funny though, because like every time I meet another person who knows Joe, they all basically say the same thing about him. It's like, oh man, yeah, you talk to him and he'll answer all your questions, and then he'll just talk and he'll talk and he'll talk and he'll talk, and he's just so full of knowledge and like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's a fucking walking on antiques roadshow, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, punk rock antiques roadshow.
You know? Yeah, it's cool, you know what?
I met him for the first time a couple of years ago. We played with him in Frederick, Maryland. And he was just, you know, he's so accessible, and just like seeing him, like, you know, it was the first time I've ever seen him as well, because I've never seen them live before. And so I remember I was just kind of like hanging out, and he's just bringing in amps, and he was wearing these jeans, and like his ass was hanging out the back. It's just like, it's fucking Joe Queer. And he was just the coolest dude. Like, you know, totally approachable. He like asked if I wanted to do the fog machine, because the dude that goes on tour with them usually wasn't there. I was like, I know your songs. I know when to press it. So
it's nice. I did the fog machine a couple years ago. We played a show with them. And, yeah. Get over here, Prozac. Fucking hit these buttons.
It's so funny, man.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Oh, good times. It's easy to know the set because they play love songs every show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, their current lineup is pretty tight. Good guys.
Yeah, and they've been together for quite a while. Quite a while now. Yeah, man. I don't know Cheeto so well. I've been talking with Alex for years, and you know, fucking, they're good dudes. They've been there, and it's weird with like some of these older bands, Screeching Weasel. I mean, everyone loves the classic lineup. I love the classic lineup. I mean, Jughead, the Vapid, and everything else. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, I guess it's really not a conversation people want to get all into. But, you know, the lineup they've had has been for years and years and years now. Mr. T Experience, too. You think of the Revenge is Sweet and the Love is Dead. But Christ, the current lineup has been, what, 2 decades now?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, but you look back and you look at a clip of time, you know, but you know what, all these dudes are out there doing it, or they've taken hiatuses, they've come back, and it's, you know, and the accessibility, you know, guys like Vapid and Frank and, you know, in that world, it's Jason V. I mean, come on, you know.
Turns out he is kind of insightful after all. Well, fuck me.
Totally.
Yeah. No, I met Jason at I met those guys. Same with you guys with Savage Remains and everything. You know, like we kind of met around the same time.
We did.
You know, when you guys were having your fucking battle royals all the time.
And, I miss those.
And you know, we played with the Jasons down in Delaware a couple years ago. They showed up late and missed our set. You know. So I'll hold that against them forever. But yeah, sweet guys, talented guys in many different ways. And they literally put their blood and sweat into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool. And of course he's going to be insightful. Of course.
And if, you know, if you don't like it, he'll slam you against a tree in a sleeping bag. So.
We had them on, I guess, one of our first episodes.
It was like episode 4
in 3D, and it was just it was a riot, man.
Yeah.
It would be like serious, and then it'd be like, you know, what are your favorite tits in all the Friday the 13th movies or something like that.
And then we talk about jacking off for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'll leave that up to those guys.
Yeah, yes, please do.
Actually, it's so funny. I'll make a little announcement, which it's kind of just under the radar. I got songs in yesterday from the Black Russians.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
And we're doing a split with those guys.
Nice.
So nice.
It just does in the underworks, but I might as well say about it. But there's a little Jason V and a little jacking off involved in their side. So I don't know what I'm going to do to keep up with that. So I don't think I'm capable.
Yeah. We're getting too old for this shit, man.
Should be a hoot. It'll be a hoot, I'm sure.
I was serious. I was like literally just about to ask you if you had any like songs like primed and ready to go from COVID, like pushing forward from here.
You know, to be honest, I hadn't written a whole lot during COVID. Well, I've written some songs, but I've had stuff that's been in the works. I've been working on a solo album, which is
nice. Very cool. Like acoustic?
No, it's like full band.
Oh, nice.
I did one a few years ago, and it's right in the middle with the Prozac. It all kind of intertwines. So this one's going to be a Jay Prozac album. It's going to be called Won't Let Go.
I remember your other one. I remember checking it out when it came out or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So this kind of follows that and follows up the Ambivalence Prozac album that came out 2019, and we got a whole Prozac album's worth of material. Pretty much ready to go. So I'm trying to get this solo record finished up. I had another studio session a few months ago and getting things, I'm at the mixing, hopefully final mixing stage. But yeah, I got that coming up. And Prozac's nice. Record, you know, like I said, it was hard to get together with the band over the last, you know, it's been very intermittent. So trying to really like establish everything with the band has been a difficult, but my drummer and I have a lot of shit down. So
was everybody able to stay safe and stay COVID free?
Yeah, cool. Pretty much. I mean, I worked right through it here. Myself. Yeah. And I think too. We all did. My current guitarist is a second guitarist is a teacher. So, and he's got young kids. So he's had sure it was a challenge there. You know, everyone's got their own challenges during this thing. But yeah, for the most part, everyone's been safe.
Where do you live? Are you in the Midwest?
I'm in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on the non-Boston side.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm right smack dab in the middle of. I'm in Westfield, which is right between 90 miles from Boston, 90 miles from Albany, New York.
Okay.
Are you ever planning on doing anything else with Stiletto Bomb at all?
Well, so Stiletto Bomb was really Jimmy and I started the Stiletto Bomb project. I know you saw Maddie was playing with us when we, Jimmy, it was really the Jimmy and I, we were kind of trying to end the Prozac at that point. I was trying to move on, but it didn't pan out that way.
So never does.
At this point, you know, I've talked with my wife, with Andrea, you know, so who knows, maybe we'll do something as Stiletto Bomb at some point.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's always nice to keep something on the back shelf, you know, just in never say no, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or never say never, I guess.
Never say never.
that's actually kind of where I'm sitting with Savage Remains right now. We were talking about pushing forward after COVID, but Swinger just had a kid and he's bowing out for the time being, so it's kind of a never say never hiatus. It is so.
Right. You got a new project going?
Well, I just found out this information, or we all just found out this information, or talked about it like I don't know 3 days ago. I think it was.
Oh, okay.
This is another exclusive on the show.
Yeah, yeah. So this is like nobody knows this, as a matter of fact. So yeah, I absolutely would love to get another project going, and I'm going to. So I just got to find some people.
Yeah, no, it's not easy.
Yeah, no kidding. I've been talking to our old drummer Danny. He may move back to Virginia, and if he does, him and I'll start something. But
right,
that's cool.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm playing with my original drummer from back in 2003, and he drummed in my first band, the Grand Prix.
That's right.
98-99. Nice. So we're doing a project called Sonic Diffuser.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, again, it's just all kind of everything I do just really fits under a roof. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
everything's got something unique, and everyone you play with brings a uniqueness. So it's at the, you know, but yeah, I do different projects, but it's just more of a means to get to keep playing, staying active. And I think I found it's hard enough to focus on one group of people and to have the focus back. So like, I seem to be able to focus on multiple things at once. So, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, well,
yeah,
you know, these guys can't use this time, but I'll find a way to.
And then, I totally know what you're saying, because I stopped playing from like 08 to 2014, I guess.
Right.
And that was like the shittiest 6 or 7 years ever. Yeah.
I can imagine. Like
I missed it the whole entire time and just wanted to jam, but you know, sometimes
it's tough.
Yeah, sometimes the chips don't fall in the right place, you know.
That's why I play guitar too. I didn't really aspire to be a guitarist. But you know, that's one less person I have to have.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Although I love playing with two guitars in the band. Yeah. I write for two guitars, and I like playing around musicians that are better than I am, because it just makes everything better, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, you know, that's the solid bands. We need like those one or two guys that have the fundamentals like nailed down and are mad consistent. And if you got those like one or two guys that are that in a band, you can flourish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My struggle right now with the Prozac is the lineup I have is still fairly new. Our bassist Kyle joined the band like 4 months before the pandemic hit. And my guitarist Jed, I've known for a million years. He's his band's No Intention, they were called, really kick ass. Well, he's been in a band 2 years now, counting the pandemic. But the spot I'm in now is like, I love these guys. I love the lineup. So I'm kind of, rather than trying to get rid of people and move ahead. It's kind of like, well, with the Prozacs, you know, I'm trying to hold that lineup together, and whatever challenges are involved, you know, I'll attack that angle instead. You know, it's difficult to get together for practices. It's things can't be as often or whatever, but I really want to play with these guys. And part of the battle is playing with people and doing other projects and having the people in your other band be supportive of that.
Yeah.
I haven't always had that. I have guys that feel like I'm cheating on them, or it's like, you know, they're not involved in everything, but it's usually guys that I've played with that they're not involved in other projects because they don't have the time for it.
Right.
You know, it's not a sense of like, hey, I don't want to play with you or whatever. But yeah, it's hard finding that support system. And I look at some of these musicians like, well, Danny Vapid and Kepi Ghouli are big influences of mine and the way they do things. Fucking Jay from Jagger Holly, you know, he's fuck like these guys that have multiple lineups and different people. And it's, you know, I think it's a rare breed to find people that will just come in and, or maybe you have a couple of people that are steady, but be cool with having fill-ins to keep the machine rolling.
Thank you for reminding me about Jay from Jagger Holly, by the way, because he's like one of the names that like, I keep meaning to hit up to bring on.
Oh, definitely. Podcast,
but it like always slips my mind because, you know, I got 1.5 million people in my head and I'm like, okay, I'm writing it down now.
Oh yeah. Hit up Jay, man. He's awesome. The Prozac's history in Johnny 3 is a huge part of our history to, you know, in the Prozac. We did 5 summers in a row where we did mini tours, played together. We put out 2 split records and,
you know, you're actually the reason that I became a little bit friendly with Jay.
Yeah, no, Jay's
send
Jay's
messages back and forth.
He's another one of the rare breed, you know, and an amazing songwriter.
Jagger Holly too. I feel like they are a little bit, I don't know if underrated is the right word, but like so many people don't know about them that should know about that band. Like, I mean, tons and tons of people do know about them, but like, I feel like a lot of people that I know are like, who's that? And I'm like, oh, here. Here's their first record. Listen to it. You're going to love it.
Yeah. There's so much. I mean, there's so many scenes and styles of punk rock out there.
Yeah.
And it really is like, you look at one scene and it seems huge within like a certain bubble. I wish I didn't use the word bubble. I don't like the whole bubble. But you know what I mean. It's certain bands are huge within a within that one realm, and outside of it, no one knows who they are.
Yeah.
You know, and
I swear when I first found Jagger Holly, you know that one song that they have called Friday Night? I think it might be like the first. Yeah. Like I swear I listened to that song every Friday night for like probably 6 months straight. I was like, it's Friday night, I gotta listen to Jagger Holly and go party.
Yeah, Jay is party man, party central. Yeah. Yeah, get him on the show, man. He's one of my favorite people, one of my best friends in the world.
Yeah, well shit. Here's to fucking coming to see you guys play a show together at some point again.
Fuck yeah.
One day. Fuck yeah. I would love to see a Prozac and fucking Jagger Holly show. Love to. Oh my God, I would love to.
Well, we'll have to make it happen.
Yeah, I would come up to fucking Massachusetts to see that show.
Yeah, well, it's happened a few times, so we gotta get you on the horn next time.
Yeah, fuck yeah. If it, please let me know if it's gonna happen again.
I mean, dude, I'm so bummed. Like the whole pandemic thing. Like the show, we had some pretty good shows booked.
Yeah, a lot of good shit fell through.
Yeah,
we were supposed to come down your way with the Huntingtons and the Jasons.
Oh my God, I would have been there in a heartbeat.
So that was a bummer one to lose that shit.
Yeah, us too, man. We had, and now we might not even survive it, but we had so many fucked up things like canceled. Like we were playing on Blitz, a show for Blitz Kids reunion tour. We were like headlining some fest in Philly with the Queers and the Jasons. And
Yep.
It's just, God, Jay, you know what? Coming from a guy who it happened to, I'm sorry that shit happened to you, man.
Yeah, well, it happened. It happened to a million people.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to everybody, but I mean, I'm talking to you right now, so I'm sorry to you.
Well, thank you. I know. We were about a month out. We were supposed to do a show with John Jughead. We were his band. Well, I was going to be singing lead vocals on most of it. I mean, it was – so we had dropped everything we were doing for about 2 months to practice for that, and then it fell through.
Did you ever listen to his other band that he had for a while called like Even in Blackouts?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We were doing Even in Blackout songs. We had
awesome.
That was the Mopes. We did Mopes songs, Screeching Weasel, and Even in Blackouts.
You know what? I feel like you might've told me about this the last time we talked. This sounds familiar now that you're saying.
So yeah. And there were a few bands. There were a handful of bands that were doing shows with John, and Larry Livermore was going to be there. We had B-Face was going to play bass on a few songs.
Awesome.
And, you know, it was going to be pretty badass. We had Bice from Even in Blackouts on drums was going to drum a few songs.
That dude's a good drummer, man.
Oh yeah. And another fucking super, super, you know, all those guys and women are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
has anybody been like hitting you up for like future? Is there anything on the horizon? Like even like, as far as shows go that are maybe being thought of at least?
I've been asked a few and I'm just not really taking anything right now.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure, you know, I'm not sure how comfortable it all is yet.
Right.
As much as I want to go out and do it, and got a lot of things going on in life and in general, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, the big one is just not being able to be practiced with the band and being able to,
right,
to go out and, you know, just wing it. So, you know, and I'd love to get a new record out. So again, like the whole focus thing, being able to focus with the time we have to like actually finish writing and get in the studio, you know, get prepared for doing gigs is, you know, I got nothing going at the moment.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of shows that are starting like in June, at least down here. I know there's like a big show. I think it's the Jasons and there's a couple of bands that like Bar 13 in Delaware, like in Wilmington.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of festivals that Matt and I are going to go to August and September. And then
taking the podcast on the road, baby.
Yeah.
So we'll see, man. Cause like, I mean, stuff really hasn't completely opened up yet. So we'll see how these first few shows, these first few weeks go, you know, it'll be interesting sitting back and seeing how it all turns out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like Teenage Bottle Rocket announced the tour. You got some bands are definitely, you know, putting together the tours and stuff now. And yeah, we don't know, man. We're not in the clear. Like, how's the whole thing with like being vaccinated going to work? You know, what are the requirements going to be? How, you know, again, people's comfort levels and you know, and again, you know, I don't know. It's a weird, weird time.
It is. It'll be interesting to see what size the crowds are.
You know, I think too, like at first, probably most of the large cities are going to be avoided because the large cities were really like the worst off of everything.
Right.
You know, I know like here where I live, very small city, but you know, it's surrounded by suburbia. So there's mad people. I mean, our population's 30,000, but there could be 30,000 people in the city on any given night here just because the surrounding area is
nothing right.
Suburbia. I was walking downtown and the punk rock bar had a show, and this was like shit. This was probably like 3 weeks ago. And it wasn't a punk show, but it was a metal show. Wasn't exactly my cup of tea when it comes to metal. But the place was jumping and it was packed and everybody looked like they were having such a good time. And I just had to, like, I couldn't stop looking at it as I was walking by. I was like, what's this? What is this? Like,
Oh yeah. I mean, it's going to be crazy. Like the music industry has the biggest case of blue balls right now, you know, seriously, everyone was on the brink and then it all just fucking ended.
Don't tell that to the Jasons.
Hey, you know what? Like, because I remember the Jasons, they did a live stream that weekend that everything shut down. They had a show and they were one of the first bands I saw that threw together and did the live stream show, you know, and it was awesome. Right out of the gate, like, we got to make this work, you know?
And no shit. Like, the live streams were cool. I mean, they definitely were. I have a weird thing about them. I don't know. I don't know if it's like a jealousy thing or just like I have to, because I'm not usually jealous about things, but
right.
But like, I couldn't do a lot of them. Something about them, I was just like, I like hung my head and was just like, oh.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was still cool for them to do for people because people really loved it. The people that do love that loved it, and that's awesome.
I didn't get the time to really sink into that. I've done a few podcasts and things like that, which has been cool. I've done a lot of guest playing. I got a recording set up at home, a small setup.
Oh, nice.
And so now I've been able to, you know, people asking me, hey, you want to play guitar, do some vocals, or work on a song, or, you know, I got a 7-inch coming out soon that was recorded remote. Nice. And awesome. You know, so it's all new territory for me, and I've learned how to work my own small setup a little more to aid in recording, you know, the bigger studio shit, you know, taking stuff home. Now I'm like, I'm going in the studio and coming home and working on vocals and guitars and shit at home. And, you know, so that's been some of my learning experience and some things that I'll take out of this. And, you know, it's growth, I guess, you know?
Yeah, totally. But what's the band, the 7-inch that you're playing on?
So that's going to be as Jay Prozac.
Okay. So that the remote one is the Jay Prozac one.
That's all. I'm working on a whole album, but this, the 7-inch it's a split with a band called Jeffrey Thunder and the Scabs. I don't know if you've heard of Pavid Vermin.
I don't think so.
A band called Pavid Vermin. I did my songs with this guy who does all home recorded stuff. So we worked together remotely to do my songs. He was actually one of my ex drummers in the Prozacs. Check him out. Pavid Vermin.
Pavid Vermin. Yeah. All right.
Totally. And Jeffrey Thunder, who's also got a band called the Lost Riots, Jeffrey Thunder and the Scabs, the Rats. He's out of Southern Connecticut. Jeffrey Thunders, man, he's a kick-ass dude. He has a record label called Die Hipster Records.
Thunder. I think I've heard of that. Die Hipster.
Yeah. He puts out a lot of stuff and promotes a lot of bands, and probably a lot of bands that, again, you know, there's a scene of bands, and outside of that scene of bands, you might not know him. So,
hey,
check them out. You know what I mean?
You said they're from Southern Connecticut,
like New London, Connecticut, that area.
A lot of people don't know this, but Southern Connecticut, some of the best pizza in the world comes out of there.
Yeah, what's your jam? Where do you get your pizza?
New Haven, man.
New
Haven's got great pizza. I don't know if I could name a specific spot, but just most of the places in New Haven. I mean, I love New York City pizza too, so don't give me and Boston. Boston's got good pizza too.
I used to go to a lot of shows in New Haven.
Yeah, I got family all through. My mom's family's all from Southern Connecticut.
Okay, I think we talked about this before.
But Southern Connecticut pizza is so good.
And there was a kicking punk rock scene.
It's crazy is unfortunately I don't know too much about the Southern Connecticut punk rock scene. That has Connecticut has been a place that has right off the top of my head, I don't think I've ever played in Connecticut.
No shit.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure I haven't, which is seeing that I have family there too, which is kind of strange.
Yeah, the tune-in that was in New Haven was a awesome venue. They had everybody. I mean, check out Jeffrey Thunder's bands, promote Die Hipster Record.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm totally interested in hearing a band called Jeffrey Thunder and the Scabs. Like,
yeah.
Sounds awesome. Rad. We each did two songs. Mine are kind of straight ahead, old, just the J Pro. They're actually songs that I wrote for that kid band Color Killer. You see, I promote those dudes. The little
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I write songs for those guys. And every time I write a song, I'm like, shit, I should keep this. Everybody wants to know how much I hate my elementary school gym teacher, you know? Well, that's a whole nother fun thing going on.
Yeah, this is definitely, I guess I didn't know that. So now I'm going to have to listen to that with my daughter for sure. Cause I remember when Dan Vapid first came out with the all wound up one or whatever.
Right.
And I think one of the songs off the first record was called I Want to Play in the Dirt.
Yeah.
And I found my daughter seemed to be like wandering off and I'm like still sitting there like jamming. Like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I want to play in the dirt too. Like,
yeah, I think Luke sang that song too. Luke McNeil. From Copyrights. Awesome. He played drums on the record. I think he recorded it. Yeah, I got a couple of those. I got a couple of those on my solo album coming up. So nice. I got one song called People I Know with my kids are on it. Don't talk to strangers.
Yes.
And I got another one that's about building blocks.
Oh, nice. Well, shit. Since we're talking about that now, hold on, let me find these 2 seconds here. Since we're talking about that, which one is which? Which one is the Stiletto Bomb song? Which one's the Prozac song?
No, that would be Out of Time.
So, tell us a little bit about Out of Time. Like, what album is it off of? What's it about? Writing process, all that.
It's actually not one of my songs. I took it off another band's album. way better than any shit I write. so Out of Time is on the latest Prozac's album Ambivalence, and it's just it's a short song. I had written it probably in 2015. I was jamming with my buddy Marty on drums, who I'm playing in Sonic Diffuser with. He was the original Prozac drummer, so he and I were jamming on tunes, and we wrote this song Out of Time. It's just kind of we have a little bit of time in our life. We need to seize it because we run out of it really quickly, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
There's not a lot of lyrics. I think the only lyrics are basically we're out of time, running out of time or something like that. There's like four lines, but it's kind of a musical little piece. The hook is the riffs, kind of a Green Day Warning sort of, vibe going on or something.
We'll be right back.
ask you these also two random questions that we ask everybody. If you were, this has nothing to do with music. Well, it kind of does.
One of them does.
If you were on death row, what would your final meal be?
My final meal, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably steak. Good prime rib. It'd have to be a prime rib. Yeah. Mm.
With some horseradish sauce. Mm. God, I love it.
Put some shrimp on top of that fucker.
Oh my God. Oh, you're making me hungry, Jay.
Yeah. Meat's meat and a man's gotta eat.
Hell yeah.
Name that movie. So...
Meat's meat and a man's gotta eat.
Oh,
hell, Vincent Farm, former Vincent.
Yep. I was like, I'm not a
horror guy. I don't know my horror like you guys. So come on.
Yeah, and you got me with that one. Although I was like, I would have probably gotten it eventually.
Probably, yeah. I was too quick on the trigger. I'm sorry.
That's all right. No.
All right. Second question. Now that you're dead, your ashes.
Yeah. Now that you've had your last meal.
But you've had your last meal. You've either sat in front of the firing squad or whatever you chose to go. Something that they started doing a few years back is you could actually turn your ashes into a vinyl record.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Actually,
so if you could turn your ashes into a vinyl record, which one would it be and why?
Oh God.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I'm gonna have to think for a minute here.
I swear my answer to this question changes weekly.
Yeah, Matt always picks a different Liberace album.
at Liberace, huh?
Yeah. I just can't stay away.
How about Bangles, A Different Light? No one would see that coming.
Nice.
Another Manic Monday, right?
Classic right. Shit.
Fucking Bangles. That one, you know what though? That is a good record. It really is.
You know that Prince wrote that song?
Manic
Monday.
Prince wrote like 85% of all music from the 80s. Well, Prince and Madonna. Prince and Madonna. Like literally.
Yeah, right. Somehow
Tim Walk Like an Egyptian on that album?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like the another good one from that time frame, even though it might have been a little later. Like The Sign, like Ace of Base. Yeah, what's up?
Oh yeah.
I have that record on vinyl. Had to get it from Korea.
I had the single and the album, but I don't think I have it anymore. I love that shit though. Yeah, dude, that The Real McCoy.
Yeah, I love 80s music so hard.
But In Vogue, seriously, In Vogue. Give it up for In Vogue.
Yeah. All right, cool. So prime rib and the Bangles.
Yeah, the Bangles.
Let's go with the Bangles.
Sweet.
You know what I can say that probably no other human being on this planet can say. I celebrate the lesser Gibb, Andy Gibb's entire catalog on vinyl. It's true.
That's really?
True. Yeah. Nice. I inherited it from my mom, but that still means I own it.
That does mean you own it. Just like I own the Ghostbusters soundtrack because I inherited that from my mom.
Oh my God. Yeah. I wish I owned the Ghostbusters soundtrack.
Everything has a price. I ain't afraid of no ghost.
So Joe, one thing that Joe said on that post we were talking about earlier is that he said you were on his Mount Rushmore of punk rock. So who would be on your Mount Rushmore of punk rock? I guess how many people are on Mount Rushmore? Four?
Four, yeah.
I don't even know. Okay, four.
Ron, I think we got a third question now.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be asked to everybody.
Yeah. Well, that would have to be Joe.
Yeah. Joe four times, four different faces.
Four times. Well, it's hard because now I feel bad because like I need more like a six or eight headed beast.
Yeah.
But Dr. Frank, Joe, and Danny Vapid, and put Ben up there, of course.
Yeah.
But how do I leave out Kepi? You know what I mean? And there's definitely a couple more there.
Joey Ramone.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big four. My big four bands would be Screeching Weasel, The Queers, Mr. T Experience, and anything Danny Vapid does. You know, that whole circle of that lookout world.
Yeah. Yep.
That all intertwines, and it's amazing.
It's so weird to me still to this day, because like I was super into that world in my teenage years, you know, when I was, you know, really, really started to get into punk rock. And because of that world, I happened to find one of my all-time favorite bands that happens to be from Virginia too. That was kind of the oddball on that label, which was Avail.
Yeah.
And I always, it always was just weird to me how Avail ended up on Lookout all those years. And they were so different than any of the other bands on Lookout and happened to be like from my backyard, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. I saw Avail once. I actually just posted a clip of a video that I took.
Yeah, they're a great band.
They were.
I got to go to one of their reunion show in Richmond too, when they like back in, you know, before COVID or whatever. And it was so awesome.
I don't think I knew they were on Lookout.
Yeah, for years until they ended up on Fat. Before they were on Fat, they were on Lookout.
Would they do like three albums on Lookout?
Yeah, Dixie, 4 a.m. Friday, and Over the James.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, no, they were rad. They were touring with Suicide Machines when I saw them. I think it was like 99.
Awesome.
For the, this is a, I don't know for any, if anybody out there knows like, or as old as we are and remembers like Avail in their early years. Of being in Richmond, they used to have this thing. So anybody who knows Avail, Bobo or Bo, they're kind of cheerleader guys.
I never know how to say. I would just say Bayou or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
But they used to have a thing at their shows back in those days where it was like anybody who would they would propose somebody to drink an entire mason jar worth of Bobo's piss.
Jesus Christ.
And if you drank the whole mason jar, you got one of everything they had in their merch.
Wow.
Yeah, which was a lot of shit back in the
days. Hepatitis.
And numerous other things. But yeah, that was a real thing that they would do back in the shows.
Like I said, that's a better deal than when Bloodhound Gang does it, because they just kick you off the stage and tell you you're an asshole. Isn't Ann Beretta from down there too?
Yes, they are. And
I love Ann Beretta so much.
I saw them recently. They played a reunion show. I went down. This was in, I think it was February of 2019. I don't think it was February of 2020. It might have been. Huh. I don't think it was, though. It might have been February 2020, actually. But they played a show in Richmond. It was with who are all the bands? Strike Anywhere, Hot Water Music, Amberetta, and I'm missing a band here. But the other band was awesome too. So
yeah, it sounds rad.
Oh, I think
that was 2020.
Yeah, I guess it was, because it was Hot Water Music played two shows, two nights in a row in Richmond, and there was a really cool lineup with them both nights, and the lineup was different both nights.
Yeah, I saw them once and they were playing. I want to say they were touring with the Toasters. It was a ska,
nice.
Like 2001 or something. It was a VFW hall. I got one of their posters. I still have, you know, the big giant Lookout posters. But big ass band.
I never would have imagined in my wildest dreams that I would have seen Ann Beretta after I turned 40. Never. Like, you know, teenage me or early 20s me would have never thought that. Yeah, they were long gone as far as I was concerned. I'm super psyched though that it happened, because they are an awesome band.
Yeah, you know, we said earlier, you know, it's in your fucking blood, so it's
yep,
you know,
yeah.
A lot of these guys, they bands and whatnot, they break up, they get out of it, and they live some life, and they have kids, they get older, and they're getting back, they're coming back. Look at all these guys in their 60s. Still fucking, you know what I mean? It's wild.
They have kids, they get older, they get divorced, and they're like, I can play music again.
The 70s, the 80s.
It's cool because you grow up like with the Queers and Screeching Weasel. It's like you grow up and they're such, I mean, in your head as a punk fan, they're like stars. Right. And then you get older and it's like you email them and they're asked to be on their podcast. Like, yeah, sure. Like, shit, Ben's coming on the podcast.
Right.
It's just they become so accessible.
Right.
I mean, that's the beauty of punk rock, I guess, you know.
You're top tier Lookout pop punk bands, and then you become chicken farmers. That's what.
I like chickens.
Yeah. Yes. So Joe and Ben. I'll eat me some chickens. I got to have someone kill them, though. I'm too much of a pussy to kill them.
I can never do that. That's why I feel bad for like eating meat, is because I know that it's like, I just feel, because I can never, ever bring myself to kill something like that.
If it came down to it, Ron, you could do it.
Oh, well, sure.
If it came down to it, you know. We had me and my brothers had, when we were in daycare when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, we did the incubated chickens. So we took them home, and my dad built a coop and everything. And yeah, you know, they were our pets and we named them, but my dad took us into the shed. Those fuckers hanging up.
Oh, no.
Chopped the heads. Dude, they really fucking run around with their heads cut off.
Wow.
It's not just an expression. Holy shit.
How old were you? You were in, like you said, like
yeah, I had
five or six, probably.
I was probably like 9 or 10 or something. Okay. My brothers are both younger, so, you know.
the best, I think, way of putting how like government and the world works. This is a little off topic, but it's relatable to chickens with their heads cut off. South Park had the best joke ever how the political world makes decisions. And it was like they cut a chicken's head off and put the body on this like Wheel of Fortune looking thing that had a bunch of different things written on it, and then one guy played the kazoo while the body danced around and splattered blood all over the board. Oh, and whatever piece of the puzzle had more blood on it is the thing that they chose to do, and that was the direction the country went. And I was like, oh my god, that's brilliant. Like
sounds about right, huh?
Yeah.
I'm just realizing you have a chicken on your hat.
I do. Yep. And you know what? You just mentioned, you know what his name
well,
is?
That's
his
a name's cock. Marty. That's a full on cock.
His name's Marty.
Really?
Marty the cock. Yeah.
Everybody's got a buddy named Marty.
Yeah, our Marty is a fucking monkey puppet. That's my wife's thing. She has the whole voice for it. I can't come close. That's her jam. We got Marty the monkey over here.
That's what I said. Everybody's got a buddy named Mark.
We've been chatting for over an hour now. Is there anything you want to plug and stuff before we let you go?
I appreciate you guys having me on, man. It was cool chatting. And
yeah, we'll put all the links to your stuff in the description too.
Yeah. All that stuff. So I got a split 7-inch coming this summer with Jeffrey Thunder. Jeffrey Thunder's in the Scabs, and that's
I can't wait to listen to this band.
Label with Rat Girl Records and Die Hipster Records. I'm working on my next solo album, which is called Won't Let Go. And the Prozacs definitely have our sixth studio album on deck. So we're hoping, you know, by summer to be in the studio laying down that. Sweet. And who knows? I don't know what else is coming up.
We'll take get you down to DC to play a show.
We can come down to DC. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. We should keep in contact and put something together for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
We should do like a Our Brains Hurt Fest and have all the cool bands that we had on the show.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. An Our Brains Hurt Fest. Wait, yeah. Did you just create something?
I did.
You just created something.
We're on.
So it is written. So it is done.
Book us first.
Yeah. Right, you're already on it. You're already on it. You're the first band booked and fucking Our Brains Hurt Fest.
We'll do a half Prozac, half Stiletto Bomb set.
Sweet.
And speaking of Stiletto Bomb, Stiletto Bomb's going to take us out tonight. So what's the Stiletto Bomb song we're going to play and what's it about?
Fucking Amp Grinder.
Fuck yeah. I love the name.
You want to know what Amp Grinder is about? Amp Grinder was a Prozac song for about 2 years. And then it wound up going over to Stiletto Bomb. So do you guys remember a house venue called Blonde Shells down in Maryland? This woman, Mrs. Jones, she booked all kinds of bands in her basement.
Do you know what part of Maryland?
Yeah, what part of Maryland?
Oh, fuck, I can't remember. I don't think it was too far out of Baltimore. But
it's like right where I live.
This is Ron's area. He lives there.
Yeah, so Mrs. Jones in Blonde Shells, and she booked all kinds of rad bands there. So anyways, we played a show with a band called Braceface.
I know Braceface.
Dave
from Braceface?
Yeah.
Amp Grinder's about him.
Okay.
And here's the deal. He asked the bar, we played the show. He asked me if he could borrow my amp. You know, I got an inexpensive Soldano Hot Rod 50. I let him borrow my amp, and they start playing their set, and fucking Dave is like, off the hook, out of control. Yeah. And he turns around and takes the neck of his fucking guitar strings down and starts grinding it on my fucking amp. And I'm sitting there with like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck is he doing to my amp? Like, holy shit, it's fucking awesome. So after the set was done, I was like, dude, do you know what you just did to my like fucking $3,000 amp head? He's like, oh my God, he's like, I forgot I was using an amp and everything. Like, it wasn't mine. And oh my, he flipped out. I made him feel real guilty. And he bought like $150 worth of merch. I told him I was going to write a song about him. And I did. I wrote Amp Grinder.
Yeah. Awesome.
So the lyrics here are like, you know, he's coming down. Like, you know, he's got fire in his eyes. You know, the song is about being fucking mad and crazy, and don't fuck with Amp Grinder. Dave Braceface is Amp Grinder. Let it be known.
Love it.
It's a rad song. It's what I love this. When I wrote that with Jimmy, my drummer Jimmy, and that was gonna be like, it was like, fuck, this is like the new Prozac's coming out, you know. But we took it with us into Stiletto Bomb, and I mean, it came out awesome. It was rad. That Stiletto Bomb lineup was killer, man. It was, you know, having my wife half and half on the vocals. Yeah, cool. It was really, you know, she's always guested in on the Prozacs, but, you know, it was taking it to another level and giving her more space to do things. The guitarist Jeff and Scotty, our bassist, were, you know, they were a different breed. So they really made the separation from like Prozacs to, that stuff. But yeah, that's Amp Grinder.
Cool.
Love it.
That's a great story.
Yeah, if you come up this way, everyone around here likes to call it Ham Grinder. So they think they're fucking funny. So maybe we'll do the Ham Grinder version sometime.
Awesome.
You guys have grinders down there, or is it
they call them subs.
Yeah.
Subs.
Yeah, subs. Yeah, we're lame.
Yeah, we're not gonna do ham subs.
Or hoagies if you go up to Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah, hoagies.
Hoagies and grinders.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, it was awesome. Kick-ass talking to you guys, man.
Yeah, you too, man. Yeah, thanks, dude, so much for doing this.
Totally. Fuck yeah. In touch. Yeah, dude, it was great talking to you, man. It's been far too fucking long, and I'm as guilty as anybody, man. We should keep in touch.
We need hugs. That's what we need.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Hugs and beers and rocking out.
Damn fucking straight.
Yeah, awesome. I talk like I'm all tough. I barely even drink.
Hey,
but I will have regardless beers with you for sure.
Regardless, awesome. Sitting around a fucking table with some beers and some food or just some music, man, regardless, you know, if it's one or 20, you know, it still would be fucking awesome.
Yep. Luckily, I only need one or two and I'm a good time. Hey,
that's cool with me, man. That's cool with
that's
me.
Awesome.
Next time you talk to Joe, ask him about me and alcohol. He's got a couple of people for you.
Awesome.
All right, man. Are we out?
Yeah. Thanks so much, dude.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jay.
Appreciate it. Take care.
We'll catch up later. Take care.
Yeah. Later.
See you, buddy. Bye.